Thanks for joining us. I'm Susan Page of USA Today, sitting in for Diane Rehm. She'll be back on Monday. Target, Kmart, Sears, and Toys R Us are among the big retailers that will open their doors on Thanksgiving Day this year. After polishing off plates of turkey and pumpkin pie, or even before the holiday feast, millions of Americans will flock to stores for special bargains. But not everyone appreciates this growing trend. We'll talk about retailers' projections for the holiday season and why some people are protesting the early start of Black Friday. Joining me in the studio, Danielle Douglas of The Washington Post, Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation, and Kathy Grannis of the National Retail Federation. Welcome to the Diane Rehm Show.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
We invite our listeners to join our conversation and to tell us what they plan to do with holiday shopping this weekend. Our toll-free number, 1-800-433-8850. You can send us an email at drshow@wamu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Well, Kathy, why do we call it Black Friday? And how long have retailers really tried to get consumers to start spending their Christmas dollars on the day after Thanksgiving?
There's a lot of various explanations as to how Black Friday started. And from what we know, there's no question it's the busiest shopping day of the year. In fact, it's in the last few years, it has topped every other day of the year when historically it was Super Saturday or the Saturday before Christmas. But back in the late 30s, there was a movement by some retailers and the lobbying group and Congress to move the day after Thanksgiving shopping to move Thanksgiving to the second Thursday of November to mirror all of the people who were heading out that day to shop. In 1941, I think, Congress and Roosevelt actually ended up moving Thanksgiving Day to the fourth Thursday, and the day after, of course, Black Friday was born in the sense that people were, family was in town and people were heading out to shop with their friends and family.
And you've surveyed retailers. How good a Black Friday do they expect to have this year?
This year, we're expecting about 147 million people to visit websites and stores from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's no question that this has become one of the biggest weekends for retailers and consumers.
Well, Danielle, you cover this whole industry for the Washington Post. Tell us, how are consumers feeling about spending money this year? We've just come out of this long recession. Do you expect they're going to be spending more money than last year?
It's an interesting time because there are a couple of things going on in the economy. Right now, there is concern about the fiscal cliff. A lot of analysts don't think that that's going to weigh heavily on consumers' decisions. In general, folks are feeling a little bit more comfortable about their financial standing, so we may see a marginal increase in the kind of spending we've seen in the last few years.
But still not a feeling of great confidence, you spend all the money you want.
It's unlikely. I don't really see that at this point.
So, Kathy, one thing that we see, including in some advertising flyers in this morning's Washington Post, there was one for Kmart saying they were going to open early Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Thursday morning on the day of Thanksgiving to shoppers. How many retailers are going to be open on actual Thanksgiving Day?
The concept of retailers opening on Thanksgiving Day is actually not new. Some companies have been opening on Thanksgiving for decades, and many other industries, in fact, have been open on Thanksgiving as well, including bowling alleys and movie theaters and restaurants. So for retailers, this is relatively new, and this year I think we're looking at maybe five or six who say they will open on Thanksgiving.
Five or six of the big names.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Well, Rich Harwood, what do you think about this movement by more retailers to be open on Thanksgiving Day?
I think a lot of Americans are probably concerned about it. I mean, on the one hand, they want the convenience of shopping, but look, you know, we're moving from Black Friday to what some might consider Sacred Thursday, and it's the one day in the year when we give thanks for what we have, we give thanks for our compassion and things that we look toward others to help support them. And here we are, we're saying, as soon as you finish that drumstick, as soon as you finish, as you said, that pumpkin pie, put your fork down, put your knife down, and make a mad dash as quickly as you possibly can to your local retail. And I think You know, what Americans are concerned about right now is that consumerism and a sense of instant gratification is taking over our lives to the extent that it's distorting how we look at things, how we behave, how we even think about our public schools, for instance. And I think what people are saying is we want the convenience of shopping, for sure, but enough is enough. We're crossing way too many lines in our society.
But, of course, people who feel that way could choose just not to go shopping on Thanksgiving Day.
Absolutely. And no one actually, I think, not myself for sure, is saying anything about restricting people's freedom to make choices themselves. I think this is not a question of our freedom to shop. It's more of a question of what kind of civic culture do we want to have in the country in terms of the things that we value, the safe spaces we create for ourselves, the rituals like Thanksgiving, and protecting them from all the forces that we interact with on a daily basis.
We've already gotten a couple tweets from people. Here's one from Jody. She writes, making shop staff work on Thanksgiving is awful. Save it for Friday, or better yet, shop local Saturday. Here's one from Melanie. Let's spend one day dwelling on what we have to be thankful for rather than focusing on what we want. And Mary writes in her tweet, out of control. Next, food courts will be providing Thanksgiving dinner so folks can just skip being at home with family. Well, Danielle, have you seen some backlash to this trend of shopping on Thursday?
There's been a lot of backlash, a lot of it coming from the workers themselves. You have a Target employee that started a petition that's, I think, gotten about 390,000 signatures at this point to stop Target from opening on Thanksgiving Day. Unfortunately, has not been successful, unfortunately for them. And then also there's a Walmart employee who has a similar campaign going for to stop the store from opening on Black Friday as well. They have about 36,000 signatures. And then there's a whole separate issue that ties into what's going on with the Thanksgiving opening is the Walmart protests that are taking place right now, or that are planned. As you know, many people have probably read at this point, Walmart is trying to stop a lot of its workers from protesting on Black Friday, which on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday, which are, you know, going to be the biggest shopping period for the store.
Now, Walmart has filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board to try to block these protests by some of their workers on Friday. Where does that stand?
Right now, the National Relations Labor Relations Board has decided not to block the protests, which means they will go forward. But I think it's important to understand that this is more than about the opening of the store on Thanksgiving Day. These workers are also protesting low wages and high cost of health insurance. And these are issues that have been kind of rumbling up for months now before. But I think the workers see that particular day, one of the store's largest earners, you know, to as a prime target for a lot of their angst.
We reached out to Walmart yesterday when we decided to do this show today, asking if they would have a representative on the show, perhaps call in for a brief 10-minute interview. And we were told this morning that they were not willing to do that. We're sorry about that. And if Walmart has changed its mind and wants to give us a call, we would be delighted to put them on the air to get their side of this story. I wonder, Kathy, is there an economic effect to this whole trend? I mean, is there an argument that it's helping the economy by having stores open more?
Well, I think the bottom line for retailers is that this weekend is not about their bottom line. It's about getting in front of their customers and making sure they are where their customers want them to be. Last year, we know that 24% of holiday shoppers were at stores by midnight. So that means that they were either already in stores by 10 p.m., or we saw a lot of 10 p.m. openings last year, or they were in line for those midnight openings. And of course, you know, the year prior to that was about 9.5% of people, and the year before that was about 3%. So for retailers, this is a very easy answer. You know, there is demand for people, demand from their shoppers to be open. And it's really not about, you know, the dollars and cents. It's getting out there and making sure that you know, they are in front of their customers.
Well, Danielle, what do you think?
I was going to say there is potential for backlash. I think last year, after we saw some of the major stores opening on Thanksgiving Day, there was like a 2.4% decline for the first two weeks in December in terms of shopping. And, you know, a lot of analysts are saying that we may see the exact same thing where shoppers have fatigue. They do all of their spending really quickly and then they're kind of level out. But, you know, it's up in the air at this point what the actual outcome would be.
Well, Danielle, you've spent the last two Black Fridays do doing reporting yes. to some of these shoppers. Tell us what your experience has been.
Sure. It's an interesting thing because last year I went to Best Buy. I was out at Best Buy for about 4 hours in Woodbridge in the cold. They were kind enough to show Harry Potter that night on a Jumbotron, so that wasn't so bad. But there, I witnessed a couple of fights as people were in the front of the line, just really anxious to get their flat screen TV. But the year before, I spent it at Potomac Mills, and it was a very different feel. People were a lot more helpful. They were a lot more willing to be patient about, you know, stores not opening all at the same time, because not every store in the mall opened at the same time. And there are retailers that are saying, we're not opening on Thanksgiving Day. Burlington Coat Factory actually sent out an email to a lot of its customers saying, we respect the turkey. It's not going to happen.
Why the different tone in the two places you were?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think a part of it was that Best Buy, it was cold outside. You know, at least in Potomac Mills, we were indoors. There were places to roam about. There was some space. At Best Buy, it was just a line wrapped around the building twice. And it was pandemonium after a while. But I will say the workers were really good about keeping people calm and in line. And they seemed, you know, to be dealing with the fact that they had to come to work right after Thanksgiving.
And Kathy, there could be even a safety issue to all this, because we remember that terrible story from a couple years ago about a person who was actually killed, trampled to death at a Long Island shopping center.
Right. And crowd management is something retailers are very familiar with, not just during the holiday season. You know, if Justin Bieber comes to your mall or your store any time of the year, that's something you have to take very seriously. So, of course, the holiday season does ramp things up, and retailers are definitely paying attention and making sure to focus on safety for their employees and their customers.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll go to the phones and we'll take some of your calls and comments and your plans about holiday shopping this year. Our toll-free number, 1-800-433-8850, or send us an email at drshow@wamu.org. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Susan Page of USA Today, sitting in for Diane Rehm. And with me in the studio, Danielle Douglas. She's a financial reporter for The Washington Post. Rich Harwood, he's president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. And Kathy Grannis, she's spokeswoman for the National Retail Federation. Well, let's go to the phones and take some of your calls. We'll go first to Megan, who's calling us from Tacoma Park, Maryland. Megan, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted you to know that my whole family is going to be at the Hyattsville Walmart in support of the workers out on the picket line.
And does anyone in your family work at Walmart?
No, we don't. We're a union family, however, and some of the reasons that the workers are standing up for themselves are because when they have spoken out in the past, they've had their shifts cut or been given very undesirable shifts. Their wages are, you know, historically low, which has really proven to lower the wages in the community as a whole because they're the largest employer in the country. And the other thing is it wasn't just a worker killed last year or the year before. It was a Walmart worker who was trampled to death.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your call, Megan. Danielle, what do you think?
It's interesting because we are seeing instances where Walmart workers are getting the support of the larger community and especially a lot of unions. But they make it clear to say that this isn't an issue about unionization. This is an issue about basic workers' rights. And I think that's important to make that distinction.
Kathy?
There's no question that retailers take their employees' concerns very seriously. And throughout the year, when it comes to schedules and family commitments, retailers make it a point to work with their employees. And, you know, for those who may not want to work on Thursday, there are millions more who do because they love the extra pay. Let's not forget there is overtime and there is, you know, there's time and a half if you work on Thanksgiving. And we're actually hearing from our members who are hearing from their employees that they like working at night on Thanksgiving because they can go home on Friday morning, maybe take a nap, and then spend the rest of the day Friday doing whatever they want and not being stuck in the store on Friday.
And that, I'm sure there are lots of workers who feel that way, but I wonder if there's some workers who don't feel that way but and do not feel they have the option to say no to whoever their employer is when they're told or asked to work on Thursday or Friday.
Well, you know, certainly there's a lot of people who may not feel that they have the ability to take off on Thursday. But, you know, like any industry, if you sign up during the busy season, I mean, this is our Super Bowl. This is the holiday season. If you sign up to work retail, or if you have a full-time job in retail or part-time, this is a part of what you do. And just like any other industry, movie theaters, again, restaurants, it, you know, it's important for that company to service the customers who want to shop. And there are, of course, millions of people who want to shop.
Rich, what's your perspective?
Well, I think this goes to, I think what Kathy said is correct, that this is their Super Bowl, and people who sign up probably know some of the rules. But I think there's a larger issue here that, you know, as I've traveled across the country and engaged Americans, it's about really, you know, an evolving social contract in the country about what's the relationship between employees and employers, whether or not employees will really have a voice, whether or not some of these issues can be really worked out in a way that's productive for everyone. And I think, you know, this is a fundamental issue that people are struggling with across the country. I don't think this is going to be a simple flashpoint on Thursday. This is, as Danielle said, this has been bubbling up for a while, and I think we're going to see more of this across the business community as we move forward.
Danielle, do you think that's right, that this year we've got 5 or 6 big retailers taking the step of opening on Thursday, and that will just expand a year from now?
I do. I really believe that if you start the trend, it only has to mushroom at this point. I can't imagine any of the major retailers drawing back out of a concern that their competitors are going to get an edge over them. And also out of concern that the online retailers are going to continue to eat away at their market share.
And Kathy, your projections are that sales will be up for stores, brick and mortar kind of stores, but up even more for online retailers. What do you see happening this year?
That's right. We're shop.org, our digital division, is forecasting that online sales will grow about 12% this year to as much as $96 billion. And there's no question that online is a bright spot, as it has been for a long time. In fact, we know that part of the reason that retailers look to Thanksgiving store openings is because Thanksgiving Day itself has been one of the busiest online shopping days of the year. So to get out there and make sure that, you know, they answered this demand from their customers, you know, they took it from online to in-store. And I think right now we're seeing a perfect mix of both worlds in terms of where people want to shop.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Odie is calling us from Miami, Florida. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to share, we this year have 3 newly registered teenagers into college who have taken up a job in their local, in our local mall. And we have had to reschedule our Thanksgiving dinner so that now it will be a Thanksgiving brunch, because all of them have to go off and be at the store ready to work by 6 p.m. So in a way, it does make a big difference, and it does modify our family tradition and the sacredness of Thanksgiving dinner and sitting down. We've now had to move everything around so that we can accommodate that this is the new reality. They're opening up earlier.
And Odie, how do your kids feel about this? Are they all right with it, or are they sorry that this is happening?
You know, they're sorry. When they signed up for the seasonal jobs, they kind of thought, you know, Thanksgiving should be okay. And then they were called in for a meeting, and they said, you have to be at the store by 7 p.m. And we were all like, oh, my goodness, now we have to move everything around, call family members, change everything, because we want them to be a part of the dinner. but it's definitely changing the tradition. That can't go unnoticed.
Odie, that's such an interesting perspective. Thanks so much for your call. You know, Danielle, I wonder if at a time when unemployment is 7.9%, if workers feel maybe a little more pressure to accommodate an employer if they want them to work on Thursday or Friday.
I would imagine they do. But the question is, when the unemployment rate goes down, you will find less workers who are going to be willing to take on those kinds of positions. And perhaps at that point, employers will have to change, you know, their overall strategy of addressing this holiday.
I wonder, though, I mean, if they're responding to a consumer demand, as Kathy says, I wonder if they will care if their employees are unhappy about it.
I mean, you still need the folks out there to push the wheel, so that has to be a concern. And it's an interesting and a very difficult position that I guess a lot of retailers are in the sense that they want to be able to earn as much as possible. You know, in years past, we've seen retailers earn as much as 30% of their annual sales during the holiday season. And they certainly are under threat of seeing that position, I guess, kind of shrink with the constant competition. But they have to respect their employees.
Rich, we heard from Odie that her family is changing the timing of their Thanksgiving brunch. It doesn't sound quite the same as Thanksgiving dinner. I wonder, do you think there's a kind of cultural cost to doing this?
I think there's a large cultural cost. And I think, you know, while we talk about the numbers and the trends and the number of stores that are opening, all important things for all of us, I think one of the things that we can lose sight of is the ways in which this affects our society. You know, as I was coming to the studio today, I told someone what I was going to be on the show for. They said, you know, we're losing our sense of humanity. And as I traveled across the country listening to Americans, and they talked about what's wrong with the country, what they said is what's wrong, fixing our politics, fixing the economy, is not what's going to fix what's wrong with the country. What's wrong, they say, is that so many things are out of balance, that we're running faster and harder and we can't keep up, that we're running in such ways that for Odie's family, it means they've turned Thanksgiving dinner into Thanksgiving brunch. They're all going to be rushed. It may not have the same dynamics that they once had. And we have to think about, yes, we can open as many stores. No one's saying that that's not a possibility. But to your question, Susan, at issue is at what cost? And should we? Not can we? But should we? And I think a lot of people are saying we've got to start drawing some better lines here.
Let's go back to the phones and we'll talk to Pat. She's calling us from Tamarack, Florida. Hi, Pat.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm calling about the promotion called Small Business Saturday, which goes on this Saturday. And the purpose of it is to encourage people to patronize their small independent businesses in their own communities rather than only the big box stores, the Walmarts and Targets, et cetera, in order to help their neighbors who own these businesses, who sell gift items of all sorts, clothing, housewares, you know, anything they might want to buy and give for gifts, and also to counteract the trend of so much low price, low quality goods coming from China. I, for one, really avoid getting stuff from China. And if you go to a lot of large stores, you have a hard time finding anything that's not made from China. And a lot of the other stores, the small businesses, try to go the other way and have more local things.
You know, thanks very much for your call, Pat. We've gotten a similar email from Sheila, who writes, I've received several requests from Buy Local supporters to give Black Friday doorbuster sales a pass and instead support small business shopping and local economies on Small Business Saturday. Kathy, tell us about Small Business Saturday.
I'm actually really glad this came up. Of course, at NRF, our members run the gamut. We have large, we have small, we have online, we have grocery stores. But I think what most might not know is that the nation's retail industry is 95% small businesses. So there is no question that retail is community. Retail is local. It's, you know, just because you go down the street and you see large stores and people frequenting the large stores doesn't mean in any way that the small stores are any less important. And we actually know from our friends who are running the Small Business Saturday campaign that there are a lot more people looking to shop on Saturday, and we encourage it. We support any initiative that supports small businesses.
But Danielle, is it hard to convince consumers to do what Sheila says she's being urged to do, which is to pass up sales in order to shop small businesses, local businesses? It's maybe a hard argument to make to consumers who are looking for the best deal they can get.
It depends on the demographic. I know a lot of younger folks have been heading on to the boutiques in the recent years and supporting them because they want things that are more unique, more interesting. And so at least in the Washington area, we see a lot of that. And what's also really interesting is that even though American Express started the whole small business movement, there are a lot of really cool communal activities that are going on in Old Town Alexandria. They have their own Small Business Saturday. All of the stores band together. They have doorbusters, their own version of doorbusters. You're not going to get a $99 TV or anything, but you can support folks who are in your community and get really great deals on very unique things. So I think there is an appetite there for it, and we're going to see that increase as more of these promotions come to light, and there's more of a campaign now, which is still being led by American Express, to push Small Business Saturday.
I'm Susan Page, and you're listening to The Diane Rehm Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-433-8850. Let's talk to Brendan. He's calling us from St. Joseph, Michigan. Brendan, thanks for joining us on The Diane Rehm Show.
How are you doing today?
Good.
I'm talking about Black Friday and Thanksgiving in general. It's hard to realize, as a nation, we put all this emphasis on one day. Times are tough. I know we're all looking for sales. Exactly. Everybody wants, who doesn't want a $100 TV? Nice flat screen. But 2 weeks ago, is it that hard to make a long distance call to your aunt or your cousin that you haven't seen in a few weeks? This is what Thanksgiving is really about. But it shouldn't be based on this one, just one day where everybody has to meet up. Yeah, people live far apart. Families are spread out. Times are tough. But if we can't take one day a week to call someone that we haven't talked to recently that we care about. Barns burn down. People pass. These things happen unexpected. And if we were waiting for one day a year to be thankful and let people know about it, then of course tons of things can pile on top of it. Black Friday, more sales. If it's all in one day, then obviously Black Friday can take it over. But if we spread Thanksgiving out to the entire year, let people know how we feel about them, then we wouldn't even be dealing with this problem. Black Friday, there'd be sales all the time.
Brendan, thanks so much for your call. Rich, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In fact, I mentioned this in this new book I just wrote called The Work of Hope. What people told me as I interviewed them across the country is that we need to get back to a certain kind of basics that I think Brendan is talking about. That's not just about Thanksgiving. It's about every day. That somehow or another, we need to introduce a greater sense of compassion back into our lives, that we see and hear one another, as Brendan was saying, that we reach out to that aunt across the country that may need comforting, that we have a greater sense of openness and humility in the ways in which we talk to one another and engage with one another, and that we have a greater concern for the common good, not just our own good. And I think what, you know, Black Friday and now Open Thursday, whatever Thursday might be called.
Great Thursday great is what Thursday. I saw it called in one story.
I think they're not the main point, but they're flash points for larger concerns that Americans have. Not that we ought not to be able to go shopping and it ought not to be convenient. No one's saying that. But that it has come to crowd out these other basic values that we cherish in our lives and for some reason we can't seem to grab hold of and exercise, as Brendan was saying, more on a daily basis.
We have an email from Pam. She says, it's a mercantile arms race, which is a pretty good line. Mm-hmm. Celia, we're going to your call. She's calling us from Oswego, New York. Hi, Celia.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about online shopping. I haven't shopped a Black Friday in I don't know how long. I do almost all of my shopping online, and I find that more and more I do my shopping at Amazon.com for two reasons. One is that if I want to send an actual item to somebody, they offer free shipping. But even better, I can send a gift card, and then people can get whatever they want from the now very large range of things that Amazon offers. And this has become a real godsend for me in the last few years, because my nephew and his wife and little boy live in Japan, and it is prohibitively expensive to mail things to Japan. So I send them an e-card from Amazon, and then they can do their shopping on the Japanese branch of Amazon without any extra fees or anything like that, and it works out great.
Well, Celia, that's interesting. Sounds like a great plan. I wonder, Kathy, to what degree do traditional retailers feel that they're in a real competition with Amazon.com?
There's definitely been some competition in recent years. There's no question that, you know, online players have moved into the space and are taking a lot more of customers' attention these days. But let's not forget also that the store is the foundation. It's the foundation of America. Online sales right now are still only less than 10% of total U.S. retail sales. That said, this is the first holiday season. We've actually seen a lot of retailers integrate the shopping experience like never before. We're looking at mobile apps that specifically let people shop online in stores. So retailers are really bringing it full circle.
We're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we'll take your calls and questions on your comments on shopping, the holiday season, your plans for the Christmas holidays. Stay with us.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by American University, dedicated to educating wonks to use knowledge to change the world. More at american.edu/wonk. By the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration to address the world's pressing environmental problems. And by the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. This is NPR.
Studies show that lifestyle, not genes, can determine up to 90% of life expectancy. The five regions of the world where people live longest and the habits that are key to their longevity. The Diane Rehm Show, next hour. Welcome back. I'm Susan Page of USA Today, sitting in for Diane Rehm. And with me in the studio today, Kathy Grannis, a spokeswoman with the National Retail Federation, Rich Harwood, president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation, and Danielle Douglas, a financial reporter for The Washington Post. Here we have an email from Carol, who writes us from Fort Worth. She says, I am a nurse working in a hospital. Like policemen, firemen, public workers, etc., we have to work holidays. We divvy them up every year to make it fair. I am not a Black Friday shopper, so I don't mind working that day. Most people get paid time and a half for holidays, so I don't believe anyone is being treated unfairly for having to work a holiday. Be thankful for a job. But we have other people with different perspectives on this. Here's one from Angela, who writes us from Lakewood, Florida. I'm appalled that stores are encouraging shopping on a day when you're supposed to appreciate time with family. I am protesting and not setting foot in a store. Think of all the people who work at retail stores who will be forced to leave their family on a family-oriented holiday. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Amy. Amy's calling us from Calera, Alabama. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I was just wanted to talk about, you know, the dangerous environment that we are creating by creating this frenzy over getting these deals. In 2007, I was working at a Target store. I worked there for 8 consecutive Christmases. And a gentleman was climbing on a shelf, and I went to try to stop him, and he, while trying to pull down a TV for a woman, pulled down a stack of 27-inch televisions. They fell on me, and I was in the hospital, had to have physical therapy, and if I had not turned my shoulder into it, I very well could have had a serious neck injury.
Well, Amy, that sounds terrible. Did you mind working on those holidays?
You know, the time creeps by incredibly slow because it's so busy. And in later years, it was kind of fun because I was in a position, kind of a little position over other workers to be able to organize and manage things. But my brother still works in retail, and he has to go in on Thanksgiving. And, you know, I didn't really mind the Saturday, the Friday after, except for, like I said, the dangerous environment, how rude people are. But going in on Thursday night when Thursday, the evening, is the important part of Thanksgiving for my family, I think that's just a shame.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much for your call. Here's an emailer, Muriel, who writes us, just because people show up at midnight to shop doesn't mean they want to be there. It may simply mean that they are afraid if they don't go, they will miss out on some deals, that they will all be gone by the time they get there. It's fear more than desire. Rich, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I just want to go back to and connect that to Amy's point. You know, when you talk to Americans about this, they equate the kind of rudeness that Amy was talking about with shopping, with the kind of rudeness and acrimony we see in our public discourse. There's not a division for people on these things. They're of the same kind, which is our society is becoming overly coarse. We become overly rude. We don't see and hear one another in ways that we need to. This is not about holding hands and singing Kumbaya. It's about the kind of society, the kind of community we want to create and live in. And this is one of the fundamental concerns that I think Americans are really grappling with right now.
We've talked about Black Friday. How about Cyber Monday? What does that mean, Kathy?
Cyber Monday is a trend that was noticed in 2005 that was coined by our own shop.org division. That was a day that online retailers recognized a spike in online sales between the hours of 12 and 3, Pacific to East Coast. And basically, it started forming its own
12 to 3, like noon?
Correct.
To 3?
Yes. Yes. And it just, it started coming together, and we noticed as an industry that people may not have wrapped up their shopping over the weekend, so they were going to their office where they had broadband or high-speed internet and shopping during their lunch hours. And you know, the
Are
term,
you sure it's the lunch hours?
Well, that so, right, you know, but the spike in traffic was the lunch hours. And we actually have data that shows 72 million people this year will shop from their office during their lunch hours this year, and it continues to get bigger.
Well, I wonder, there's this practice, though, called showrooming that I know has been of concern to retailers in traditional stores. What is that?
Showrooming is something really that's come along only with the adoption of mobile devices and the nonstop, on-the-go mobile shopper. Basically, people would walk into a store, look at a product on the shelf and see, go straight to their mobile device, look for that same product online for cheaper, go home or right there and buy it online. And retailers, of course, are just trying to get people to stay in their stores. And this year, we're actually seeing retailers answer their call by letting them shop in their store via their mobile their mobile device and have that item shipped to them at home, in multiple other ways where they're encouraging this, you know, this trend of shopping online, but maybe stay in my store while you do it.
You know, Danielle, all of us now but many of us now have mobile devices, have these smartphones that do such incredible things. How has that changed things for retailers?
It's interesting because I think in one way it's made it more convenient for their shoppers to get a better sense and be more educated when they're going to the store. So it can be helpful, but it could also lead to showrooming, of course. But a lot of retailers are being very smart and saying, well, we'll price match. You know, if you find something cheaper online, you can still come back to our store and get just as good a deal.
So that means you could go to a store, find what you want to buy, look for it on your smartphone, mm-hmm. find a cheaper price, go to the cash register and say, here, I found a cheaper price. Will you sell it to me at this price?
In some instances, yes.
In some instances, people will do that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Brandy, who's calling us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Brandy, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Good. I am the wife of a firefighter, and the way my husband's schedule works with his unit day, out of 4 years, he works two holidays. 2 years he works every holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Eve. And, you know, there are a lot of us out there that, you know, have to work around schedules for our spouses or our families. And I don't like to sit at home by myself on the holidays, so it's very nice for me to get out and go to stores that are open or restaurants that are open, so I'm actually not lonely at home.
Well, Brandy, that's a great perspective to have. I'm so glad you called. So will you be out shopping on Thanksgiving?
I will, because on Friday I will have the dinner at my home.
All right. Brandy, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. Yeah,
a different perspective on that. How about Diane? Diane's calling us from Branford, Connecticut. Diane, thanks for holding on.
Oh, you're welcome. Let me just say quickly right off the top that I'm just totally aghast by this entire scenario. Frankly, it sickens me, and I even feel, vaguely ashamed by association to be an American. But the point that I think has been overlooked is that I'm very concerned about how this whole retail brouhaha is grist for the anti-America malice mill, particularly on the part of the more militant foreign countries. They're just delighted to portray us, if you will, you know, as the ugly American. And it lends credence to the perception, and then that translates to propaganda, that Americans are utterly obsessed with material goods and, concomitantly, that they utterly lack spirituality.
And, Diane, I'm gathering you will not be out shopping on Thanksgiving. Is that right?
Absolutely not. I am proud to say that, I'm 57 years old. It took me 10 years until I could convince family and friends, all of whom are comfortable. Nobody needs a sweater. And I'm not wealthy, but in any event, it took a long time. I am a retired lobbyist, but... So I'll get my way eventually. But anyway, I convinced them finally to make a donation to their favorite charity in the amount that they might have spent, and let's do exchange little token gifts.
You know, I've done that with my family. I have to say there's a difference of opinion in the family. Some people are clearly fine with getting a contribution in their name, and some people do not seem to think this is in the full spirit that they see of Christmas. Well, Diane makes the point, is this a kind of an American trait? And I wonder, Kathy, do we see these same shopping trends in other countries, or is it different?
Oh, that's a great question. We know that, for example, Brazil is going through a huge boom right now. It's actually very evident if you come to our big show in January, that Brazil is the fastest growing group to come to our convention. They have this new boom where they're building malls and stores. And let's not forget that, you know, a lot of companies are opening up in China. And so there does seem to be a demand across the world in terms of a lot of American brands coming into their space.
But I mean, specifically on like being, of course, an American Thanksgiving wouldn't be a holiday that applies, but in being open on holidays that have traditionally been family oriented, are other countries moving in that direction?
I'm sure it varies from culture. I'm not too familiar with the culture of other countries and continents.
You know, it's the New York Times has a front page story this morning that talks about some regional differences in this country on attitudes to this. This is a story that's Dateline from Plymouth, Massachusetts, and it says here in the birthplace of Thanksgiving, where the pilgrims first gave thanks in 1621 for their harvest and their survival, some residents are giving thanks this year for something else, the colonial era blue laws that prevent their retailers from opening their doors on Thanksgiving. In Maine, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, the stores will sit dark until the wee hours of Friday because of these longstanding New England blue laws. So maybe some regional characteristics too, Danielle.
Oh, certainly. I know in D.C., actually, there was for a while there was a ban on opening any earlier than midnight, and some of our big box stores had to deal with that as well, whereas in Virginia that wasn't as much of an issue. But it varies from place to place. I think one of the other things that's really interesting is how some of the online retailers are going to deal with supply chain slowdown from Hurricane Sandy, which I think is going to be kind of telling. There was a bit of a delay with some of the deliveries, and that might be a big impact coming into the holidays. I know Amazon has told their customers, so has Diane von Frostenberg alerted her customers that you might see some delay in your deliveries.
So you could see some effect. I wonder, will Hurricane Sandy put a measurable dent, do you think, in holiday sales generally, Kathy?
Well, you know, I should say the first concern, of course, for retailers in the impacted area or across the country is the safety of their community and the health of their community. And retailers have done, have actually donated millions of dollars to this effort. So when we look at the holiday season, we do know now it's a little too early to recognize if the storm is going to have overall impact on the holiday season.
We know there are a lot of people in New Jersey and Long Island particularly still affected by the aftermath of that superstorm. We hope their holiday goes well. I'm Susan Page, and you're listening to The Diane Rehm Show. We've got a caller from Helsinki, Finland. So let's get the international perspective. Roy, thanks for giving us a call.
Yes, hi. Greetings from Finland, where it's already evening. I'm just calling because of the fact that isn't there anything sacred in the United States? The only day when people of multi-faiths can get together and spend time with their family and have a peaceful, quiet Thanksgiving dinner. I really think that it's a shame. Here, for example, here in Finland, I don't like to compare countries because Finland is a much smaller country. We have Christmas peace declared on Christmas Eve at 12 noon, and we don't go back to work until the 27th of December. Everything is closed. So I really feel that this shopping on Thanksgiving is absolutely wrong.
All right, Roy, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate hearing from our international listeners. Rich, what do you think?
I think Roy's raising, again, an interesting point, which is, again, this is not about whether or not we can shop and have the capability, but what are the things that we actually value in our communities and in our daily lives that create certain kinds of spaces for us? I think Thanksgiving is one. I think certain kinds of ability to come into the public square and engage in productive discourse is another. People are deeply concerned about what's happening with their children and whether or not they're spending way too much time with video games and not being able to interact with other individuals. You know, this continually comes down to a central issue for people, which is what kind of society are we going to create together? How are we going to engage with one another? What are the kinds of things we're going to protect that we really value? Those don't have to be at odds with shopping, but there needs to be room for them. And what people are feeling right now is those things have been squeezed out, and we've got to find a way to pry open spaces where we can reclaim them.
Let's go to Justin calling us from Madison, Wisconsin. Justin, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I've worked at a big box retailer for the last 10 years, and I just wanted to give a perspective of how the employees, at least at my specific store, are feeling. And a lot of them actually don't mind coming in and working in my specific store. They're extremely flexible of when you're scheduled. And in fact, for the weeks leading up to the schedule, they're asking all the employees what shifts they prefer to work. And so the people that do pick those 9 p.m., 10 p.m. shifts are the ones that want to work those because maybe they can get the weekend off or get an earlier start on their weekend. But they do also give the option of working, you know, late Friday night if you are planning on going home and spending time with your family. And in fact, I think one thing that isn't really talked about is the stores need to prepare for this Black Friday point. It's done on Thanksgiving morning, and we actually put up a sign-up sheet at our store for team members to sign up, want to come in and prepare and set up things. And we get hundreds of people that want to come in and, you know, make some good money doing it, and then afterwards we'll spend time with their family.
Yeah, Justin, that's interesting to hear, and I'm glad to hear that it's employees are able to volunteer what shifts they want to work. I think that addresses some of the concerns that we're hearing. Well, tell me about your own shopping plans, Danielle. Do you do your shop? You're going to be out there on Friday morning or Thursday night at midnight doing your Christmas shopping?
I actually have to work this Friday. I do not have to do shopping work. I have to be in at the office this Friday. But on my break, I'll probably do a little bit of shopping maybe the next day. I'm not a huge fan of the massive crowds, so I'd like to try to avoid that. But I imagine I'll do a hybrid of in-store and online shopping.
And Rich, what about you? What do you plan to do?
I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for the crowds to go away. And actually, as we were talking about before, I'm going to try to go to as many small businesses in this area that I possibly can.
And Kathy, what about you?
I too work on Friday. I'll be in the office. I actually have started shopping already. It's the first time in my life I've ever started before Thanksgiving. I think Friday when I get off work, I'm fortunate enough to work around a bunch of stores. So I think I'll check it out when I get off a little early Friday.
I have one shopping tip on the weekend after Thanksgiving. I shop during the Redskins game because the stores are not nearly so crowded. Well, I want to thank our guests for being with us. Kathy Grannis from the National Retail Federation, Rich Harwood from the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation, Danielle Douglas from the Washington Post. Thanks for being with us on the Diane Rehm Show.
Thank you.
I'm Susan Page of USA Today, sitting in for Diane Rehm. Thanks for listening.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Denise Couture, Susan Neighbors, Rebecca Kaufman, Lisa Dunn, and Jill Colvin. The engineer is Aaron Stamper. Natalie Yurov-Lifker answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives, transcripts, podcasts, and CD sales. Call 202-885-1200 for more information. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. And we're on Facebook and Twitter. This program comes to you from American University in Washington, D.C. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Carbonite, providing automatic